Hey guys, it's GPD and Shipwreck here in LA, and the second day of E3 has just wrapped up, and we are here to tell you about what we saw today. Ship, what did we start off with?
We started off at 9:30 a.m. with Rock Band 4.
That's the perfect time for rocking, actually. 9:30 a.m.
The harmonics guys were raring to go after their party from the previous night.
They seem fine.
Yeah, those guys are troopers. They were mainly showing the new guitar solo stuff that they've implemented, which, like, when you hear guitar solos, you think, oh, they've done that kind of thing before, but this is a little bit different.
It's all freestyle now.
It's all freestyle, and that still doesn't just mean, hey, just hit a bunch of buttons and you'll be fine. Like, there's, like, they actually make you switch between the low and high on the frets. The buttons.
Right, but it'll actually still sound okay if you don't follow those directions, but if you want to score points, you have to follow, you know, play the top notes, play the bottom.
Right, it's not telling you which notes to play necessarily, but it'll tell you, like, strum
a chord.
Strum, one button here.
Right.
Or strum, one note, a chord, or
quarter notes, or quarter notes,
or eighth notes. It was pretty neat.
I didn't know anything about that game really, at all. So I was pretty excited to see that. That's kind of like the dream of these guitar games, right? Is to be able to do an awesome guitar solo without knowing how to play the guitar.
I think that's part of it. The other part is just, like, I like to play this rhythm video game.
That too.
And that is still in there as well.
And I like that song.
What song?
I mean, any song. I'm saying, like, I'm playing the game because I'm playing the game because I happen to like that song. But I did like the songs that they had for Rock Band 4. It was all classic rock songs.
Yeah, for the most part.
They had at the show, I mean.
Well, they had pop stuff in there too, but they were, the ones that we were playing were ones that actually had, like, long guitar solos in them.
Right.
Because that's what they were demonstrating.
Good. That's when I see the Guitar Hero set list, I was like, I've never heard of any of these songs.
There's stuff in there that you have heard of. It's just they haven't been.
You might be surprised.
Maybe. Yeah.
Anyway, so Rock Band 4 was good. That's the takeaway. Was there any other stuff that we need to talk about there?
They still didn't nail down a price on the adapter between the 360 and the Xbox One to get your old 360 instruments working on Xbox One.
Right.
They said it's low cost. I'm gonna guess somewhere between $20 and $30 would be, I guess.
That seems to be the going rate, right? Like, was something else needed an adapter?
Right.
What was that we saw today? A headset or something?
Oh, yeah, the headset.
A headset, yeah.
The headset.
And they were charging $30 extra for the Xbox One version, which is pretty annoying that Microsoft made it work that way.
yeah, it is.
It's a silly thing. But okay.
So after Rock Band, we went to Wizards of the Coast, and we saw, I'm looking at the
right, it's
Sword Coast Legends, I believe is the name of the
okay, of the game. Which is a Dungeons and Dragons licensed game.
Mm-hmm. It's a 4-player cooperative dungeon crawl,
isometric, not turn based.
No, Diablo style.
Right.
But then you can also have a fifth player can be the dungeon master.
Right. And that was pretty cool.
The create a dungeon aspect was really cool. Well, it's not just creating dungeons, it's creating, like, towns.
Modules,
and stuff.
They call that.
Yeah. So you could, like, create whole quests.
Right. You can make your own adventure and then fill out all the details as much as you want. You can customize everything about it down to the individual monsters' clothing colors and, you know, everything that you could think of. But what I thought was cool was that the interface, it seemed very easy. Like, it didn't seem like I needed to study much to figure out how to do this, and that it also randomly generated the dungeons so you could just work with that from the beginning. So you're never starting from zero, which
right.
is good because you can still customize everything, but you don't have to start from scratch.
Yeah, it was cool. The tricky part with it is
sorry, my phone rang and it messed up the audio boo because professional. So what were you saying, Chip?
I think I was saying the tricky part about it is going to be, like, the dungeon master, like, not just, like, going in and killing everybody. Like,
well, like the guy did in our demo.
Right. Like,
because he was just another guy like us. Actually, he was a fan of the CADcast, I think, right?
Yeah.
But he was there to beat us, but that's not the role of a dungeon master in when you play Dungeons & Dragons. It's not to beat the players. It's to show them a good time.
Right. And so, basically, he just spam stuff everywhere. Like
he trolled us.
We opened up a door and it was just
traps.
It was just traps and so many monsters in there that there was. First of all, like we're playing this on PC, and
you have nine different powers.
Nine different powers, and you don't like sitting down to play. You have no idea what like. You don't know, okay, was this my fireball? I'm playing as a rogue, which I don't usually do. I'm trying to do traps, and then I have no idea what any of my attacks were.
Right, but I think the people who play this game, this is not like a game for people who like oops, I bought this game by accident, right? That's not going to happen.
Right.
People who buy this game and people who are going to be the dungeon master are going to be hardcore D&D nerds, and they're going to want to make it. They're going to want to do it right. They're not looking to. It's not like Fable Legends, right? Where you're supposed to be like one guy whose job it is to kill the other players.
Right.
That's not this.
I don't think that's what this is. No. It was a lot of fun.
It was fun, actually.
We were pretty terrible.
I blame the Dungeon Master.
I died probably 5 times.
Right. It was cool. I'm looking forward to that. It's, yeah. It might be pretty interesting to make your own little modules.
Then we went and saw some SteelSeries peripherals. They came out with...
I'm not sure. Headphones, though.
Yeah, headphones for Xbox and PlayStation. Basically...
Like from $50 to $300, basically, I think, was the range.
Right, and you could point to the different ones and tell which one... As you like, which one was the middle one, which was the low one, which was the high one.
Right, right. High one is a wireless like thing with a little console box that sits on your display, and it says Xbox. It says whatever you're plugged in there. I don't know. It seemed pretty cool. I use SteelSeries stuff for my PC, so
they were really comfortable.
Yeah, they're good stuff.
All three of them, from low to high, were comfortable. The low ones being $50. I mean, that's an entry level product. Yeah. For gaming headsets, I would probably just get the middle one if you're looking.
Right. I had the PC equivalent of those at one point. They're good.
Yeah.
They're basically like the, I think they're like the old Elites, basically the Siberia Elite headphones that they used to sell that they sold for PC.
They also had an enormous mouse pad.
Right, which is the size of my foot pad that I stand on at my desk.
So if you're looking for like a yard long. Mouse pad.
It was
a yard by a foot.
Yeah.
At least a foot. Maybe it was.
It was maybe. It was like somewhere a foot and a half.
Maybe a foot and a half. If you really want to get some mouse pad, you're going to be moving that mouse around.
They have that.
I can't even fathom
how you could
the
do
application.
That. You would need to be standing and walking to get from one end of the mouse pad to the other. It's very strange.
I'm sure somebody knows how to use that. But no. It's not me.
Right.
Then we went and saw, in the same appointment, we got Tony Hawk, Pro Skater 5, and Transformers, what was the subtitle? Domination.
Devastation.
Devastation, yeah.
It's, duh.
Yeah, sorry. Because they had the Devastator.
Dude, while we're waiting, so here's the best thing. This is a great morning, to be honest. So we're waiting for the Transformers appointment to start. We're just waiting outside the meeting room, and a woman comes with a big box that says Hasbro on the side, and she just sits it down right in front of us in the hallway and just starts opening it up. And they're like, "What's in there?" And she's like, "I have no idea. They just told me to open it up and bring it here." So she starts opening it up, and I see she's pulling off the bubble wrap, and it's green and purple, and I was like, "Oh shit." It's a big-ass Devastator. And I guess that's the new toy that they're going to be selling later this year. It's much bigger than the original figures. It's big and plastic. It doesn't feel particularly high quality, but it looks so good. And it's big. Anyway, So after we all drooled over the figure for a while, we got to check out the Transformers game. And what, we got some news of the figure? Oh, no.
I was going to try to, but it was too hard. Right. Yeah, so the new Platinum game, the Transformers game, it's a brawler, similar to other...
Bayonetta?
Like, similar to Bayonetta's style thing, but with five different Autobots that you can play as. Optimus Prime, Bumblebee, Wheeljack, Sideswipe, and Grimlock.
Yeah, that sounds...
I think it was... Wheeljack's the only one I'm not 100% positive on, but I think that's right.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you go through levels, you do combos.
The combos are really fun because you can transform in the middle of the combos, and that does fun things.
Those kind of weird things.
This is the Japanese-ness to it.
It's very much taking a license with this license. because, like, once you get enough, like, I don't know, probably like four hits in or something, you can hit the R1 button and change into vehicle mode to just like kind of hover in the air and ram into people.
It works.
It's just like, this isn't how Transformers works.
No, there was never a fight like that, but it does look really cool. The graphics are great, I think. I love the art style. I think I would watch a cartoon that looked like that. It looks better. It looks better than the original cartoon. I mean, the characters do.
Well, they have maybe. I don't know if I agree with that or not. I mean, it's a totally different type of thing, but they do have the old school artwork, like when there's the talking heads and the intercoms or whatever at the bottom. That's just straight up.
Right. But it's pretty damn close. It's just a modernized take on it. It's not, they didn't go extreme on it at all. I think it's really true to the original designs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And we got to fight Devastator. That was fun. You're literally just fighting against this huge Transformer as one of the five that we mentioned before.
The
only thing, you may want to temper expectations, like this, you can tell they definitely made a game within budget constraints.
Right. I mean, I think this is basically the Legend of Korra game with a different license, and hopefully I know that game didn't get good reviews, so hopefully they were able to maybe add more content. I think it was light on content that was like the big complaint. Mm-hmm. So hopefully they were able to build on that and put more game in it. But I don't know. I feel like I like the license so much that...
Right. That's totally what it is. Like, if you like the license, it's a fun, like, brawler. It does have shooting as well. Like,
It was fun. I had Sideswipe had a flamethrower or like a plasma thrower or something, and it looked... I really liked the art of the flame coming out. It looked really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hopefully it's not overly frustrating like Bayonetta was for me when I had to rage quit for 4 months.
I don't think it's going to be. I mean, it gives you letter grades when you're going through the levels. You played Bayonetta for quite a while.
I finished the demo.
Okay, how? Like, what letter grades were you
getting? I was getting C's, pretty much.
That's fine.
Okay.
I mean, I think I was getting B's on most of them. And, I mean, that's in a demo setting. You'll probably get B's and A's when you're playing it at home. So the other thing in that room was Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5, and I'm a big Tony Hawk Pro Skater fan. It's pretty much my favorite video game series ever. And I don't know, guys.
Shipwreck had to go into therapy after that meeting. We actually left the show, and we called a psychiatrist, and he was on the couch.
I feel like... there's not anything that can be done to truly like bring the Tony Hawk series back to that glory. Like that ship has sailed. Budget wise, it doesn't make sense to have a team working on it for that amount of time to get it to where it needs to be. And that team is now the Call of Duty team. So, I mean, they say the right things. The new levels where they've kind of mesh two of the old levels and together, like the hangar and the warehouse, which was mainly just the warehouse. So they're saying the right things, but it's not translating to what I'm playing on screen.
Right. Like I remember he said The guy gave me the demo set. He asked you what your favorite game was in the series, and you said two. Mm-hmm. And he said, yeah, that's what a lot of people say. And yet, in this game, it uses the mission structure from the newer games, right?
It's similar to four, I guess, is what he said. I'd have to go back and see. Like, it has missions. Like, it's not like you're just thrown into a level and you have 2 minutes to go around and collect the combos and skate and everything. Combos and skate are in there, but you do that in just, like, there's no time limit. There's just, like, you're going in there, free skate. Okay. And you can collect them. There are, like, time limit modes, I guess, but those are, like, online modes that you play against other people for scores and everything. The graphics are, of course, I didn't expect the graphics to be great. But
they're bad, though.
Yeah, like, if the graphics were just, if the graphics were what they were now and they had the gameplay down, I'd still be completely on board with it.
Right.
It's just that
they're not hitting either checkbox.
They changed up the jumping. He's like, oh, I see you played a lot of Tony Hawk because you're holding down X. Which X is, Tony Hawk is how you like picked up speed and, right. and you let it go to jump and then you press it again. Now he's like, you can do that because that's how I was playing it, but to get the top speed, you hold down the right trigger and not X, and then you just hit X to jump, which is just like totally, like, does not work in my mind when I'm playing Tony Hawk.
It's not like Tony Hawk 2.
No, and the grind button, so triangle. Now it does like a quick slam down, so you can't just like hold the triangle button when you're in the air to then eventually grind.
It just changes it too much.
It's still similar, but it's like, why did you? There was nothing broken with the grind button.
Right.
So at one point I launched off a ramp and I did a poor job of it, and I should have just splatted.
Right.
But I hit the triangle button and it just like completely reoriented me, and so I landed in a grind, even though like I should not have been able to land that at all.
Okay.
And apparently that's a feature that they built in, like this reorientation. It's just there's no spline transfers in the game. They're trying to get that in there, but I don't know that that's going to get in there in time. The revert needed a lot of work. It's in there, but doesn't control great. I don't know. I feel bad, like, having this much opinion on this, but I have a lot of opinions about this series.
This is your jam.
Right. Like, people can ask me if, like, about certain games. I'm like, yeah, I kind of remember that. Like, Tony Hawk, I can pick it up and feel like, no, this isn't
right.
This isn't right.
Right.
And it upsetting because it's like, okay, you got the environments, like I played the school level and they combined the school with, I don't remember what it was. I think they just made the school, like maybe a combination of all the school levels that they had done in the past is what I think, because there was multiple schools. And it's just like, well, yep, here's where I jump and I do my combo and I did that. And
now the controls are different.
Yeah.
And the gameplay is different. Yeah.
It's different, but it's like so close. It's like, what did you,
why
did you change this? Maybe they'll get it ironed out before it launches, but I play it and I'm thinking, why don't I just go play the ones I like?
Right, on the Framemeister.
Or, I mean, they put out, well, I guess that was back on Xbox now. Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2/3 or whatever, 2X.
Yeah.
2X is, that was the one that had 1 and 2 in one game on Xbox. That's like the greatest Tony Hawk game
ever. That's the bar.
Yeah, that's the bar. People, I have no problem with people saying they like Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3 best, because that was a fantastic game as well.
Right.
But
those are your choices.
That's your choices right there.
Right. That's cool.
No.
It's not cool. I mean, it's, yeah.
I feel for the guys working on it. I think they're trying to do a good job.
It's so funny, because like we were standing next to each other. You know, he was playing Tony Hawk. I was playing Transformers. I'm having like a great time. Like, this is like my childhood dream. Like, I've always been saying, like, why don't just somebody make a Generation 1 Transformer game? I don't care. It doesn't have to be good. Just make it, and like, I'll buy it. Like, as long as you like make an effort. And they've done more than that. It actually seems like it could be better than it has any right being. It's definitely better than that one that they released in Japan on the PS2 of many years ago that never came to America. So, yeah. And then Shipwreck is next to me. And, like, you know, his soul is being just crushed right out of him. And, like, even when we walked out of there afterwards, he was just shaking his head. He's like, I don't even know what to say. Like, who am I? Where am I going? Is life worth living? Yeah. Sorry.
Maybe it'll be good.
Okay. You can hold out hope. You never know. Who knows? Maybe it's an old build.
Right. So after that, then we went and saw King's Quest.
Mm-hmm.
That looks fantastic. The voice acting is great. I mean, it had Christopher Lloyd in it. It had...
the inconceivable guy?
Right.
Wallace Shawn?
Yes.
It was all top voice talent, you can tell.
Right, which I wasn't completely expecting that from that game. Mm-hmm.
Hand-drawn art. Not hand-drawn style, but he said actually hand-drawn. Everything's hand-drawn.
Yeah, they said some crazy method of 3D printing and then laying it back out and then drawing on it and then sucking it back in.
Yeah, he said it takes a really long time. He's like, it's not that hard. It's really labor-intensive. It takes a lot of hours. But it looked really good that they're putting in a lot of homage to the old games, like little jokes that only you would know if you play them and have a really good memory. Like, I've played all those games, but I'm not going to remember the jokes. Like, right. If you tell me them, then I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember when he fell out of the tree. Like, but I'm not going to pick that up on my own. Like,
right.
Come on.
I thought, like, he was falling down a hill in the demo, and I thought that was an homage to Princess Bride from the scene in Princess Bride.
Right.
Because he had talked about Princess Bride for, I don't know, I think he was just comparing King's Quest to that.
And it's made by the guys, what other games? The Oddfellow games? What's the other? PJ Winterbottom.
Yeah.
You said. Yeah, I mean, it looks pretty cool. It's got, you know, the developer said that basically this was his dream job because he grew up playing these games and that, you know.
You could tell it was a real passion project for him. He was like really deep into it. And it hit a lot of the right notes, like the way the puzzle was set up, like exactly how you would think a King's Quest puzzle should be.
It just looks a lot better because it's all 3D and hand-drawn, and the animation was really good, I thought, as well. So that was King's Quest, and that's going to be coming out in chapters, they said. Like, he said basically they're going to be, like, standalone games.
The chapters work in the way that so the whole game is being told by a very old king, and it's going into flashbacks.
Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah, it's going into flashbacks, and so like this first chapter is back when he was a squire, while he's trying to become a knight, and then the next one will probably be when he's a knight, and then so forth until he becomes the king. So after we did that, we went out to the Devolver Digital parking lot area. Had some food. Had a tri-tips sandwich.
Had a delicious cheeseburger.
Thank you, Devolver Digital, for feeding us.
Thank you, Shipwreck, for scheduling it during lunchtime.
I knocked the schedule today out of the park.
It was a pretty good schedule.
So, yeah, they have the same setup they had last year, which they have the Airstream trailers that they have all their games set up in, which is it's a neat little setup.
It works.
Yeah. So we saw Shadow Warrior 2,
mm-hmm.
and that is a big step forward from Shadow Warrior.
Right.
There is verticality to the combat now, which looked amazing, like moving around like quickly from all like building to building and
climbing up the pagodas and
it's
really cool.
It just looked really fast and really fluid, and it looked like it opened up the combat a lot, because before it was just all flat.
It was like a monster crawl, a hallway crawl. Like, I mean, there was really pretty corridor crawl, that's the word.
Right.
Because
it was trying to be like the old game.
Yeah, and it would open up a little bit in parts, but the first game, but not really. This is pretty open. I mean, it's...
Yeah, and it has co-op now.
Three-player co-op, I think they said? Three? Four?
Three or four.
It looks great. I mean, the graphics are fantastic.
Like something like 70 weapons now instead of... There was like 10 in the last game.
Yeah.
That when you slice people now, it will dismember them where you slice them instead of just like canned slice in half.
The fact that there was a technical term for that was disturbing.
Procedural dismemberment, I think, is what it was.
Yeah. That.
Yeah. It had the right attitude still.
Jokes. It was funny. I mean, even the demo was funny.
I'm looking forward to that. I assume they'll bring that to consoles again as well.
Yeah, I think so.
Then we saw a game that the developers did not even know how to pronounce.
The first time that's ever happened.
Right. I think they settled on Eiter.
I don't know.
It's the name of the game is EITR, and it's an Old Norse word. And to begin with, they were calling it Eiter. And then they saw a YouTube video of a guy dressed like a Viking that called it Eiter. And so that's what they're going with now. That was the game. I would describe it like, think of like Castlevania Game Boy Advance 16-bit kind of graphics, like art style, but it's isometric and it is Dark Souls-y. Right. So I don't know. Talk about it a little bit.
It looked cool. I'm trying to think. What they had, you know, it did have a lot of the mechanics of Dark Souls. There's like you're saving at bonfires,
the leveling system was really neat. It does not have XP. It has what's called favor, and so you can either you can either use the favor to level up,
like souls, basically,
right? Or you can hold on to those, and they're more powerful if you just hold on to them
instead of cashing them in
for XP. But then as soon as you die, you lose them all.
Right.
So it's
risk reward.
Right. Which I would be using them as XP, I think.
Right.
Leveling up with them.
But the game's not coming out till next year.
No.
What was Shadow Warrior? Is that next year too?
Next year.
That sucks. I wanted to play it. But they both games look great.
Yeah, I thought Eiter's doing some really interesting stuff. Like the fact that you can only attack left or right, basically. You can't attack up and down.
Yeah, diagonal too, you can.
Yeah, diagonal. Yeah, but so you can't just like get below an enemy and like stab at them.
Like in the olden days, the good old, the good old days. The
good old days of just going below an enemy and then popping up and hitting them. And,
yeah.
So it looked very cool. Then we...
I think we did Elite Dangerous, right?
We went and saw Elite Dangerous. We saw the Xbox One version of that.
It looked very nice.
They showed us the new, they called it close quarters combat. It's just straight up arcade dogfighting.
Right. What was the deal with that? That's not free, right? What's
free on PC and Mac? It will be coming, but it's premiering on the Xbox One.
And that's a standalone for sale purchase. Oh, it's included with the game. I gotcha.
Included with the game, it will be available for free for the PC and Mac owners of the game already.
And that's just a more traditional like deathmatch, team deathmatch, capture the flag with spaceships situation.
Which seems like a really smart move to put that on the console version, because that game, the dogfighting looks really fun, and then all the other stuff, it's just like, I don't know if I can get into all of this.
I don't know if I'm going to be mining asteroids for a few hours today.
Right. Like, the guy they had running, like, the computer portion of the demo wasn't even a developer or anything. He was, like, just a
fan.
Super fan
that
has put, like, thousands...
A streamer.
Yeah, thousands of hours into this game already, and that's the kind of, like, user base... Like, it's almost like an Eve type.
Yeah, it's exactly like that. Actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that looked very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next thing we had an appointment for was Disney Infinity. So we saw the both Star Wars sets. So we started off with the classic episode 4, 5, 6 stuff.
Right, played on Hoth.
Mm-hmm. I think adding Star Wars to this makes the game a lot better.
Well, now you're shooting things and killing people, and that's what video games are all about, apparently.
It does add a certain something to the game. Like, I think there actually is a game there now that you could, like, sit down and play with your kid.
Right.
And you wouldn't just want to, like, just fall asleep while you're doing it.
Yeah, I was thinking that while I was playing. I was like, you know, Ty and I would probably have a good time with this. I don't want to get sucked into the world of figures, but it sounds like you could use the older. Oh no, but they won't be Star Wars guys.
Right. You couldn't play the Star. You can. It's the same type of thing where you can't play the Star Wars.
Use them in toy box though, right?
You can use them in toy box, but you can't use the Star Wars figures or other figures inside
the Star Wars. Got it. But there's a big addition to the toy box now.
Yeah, one of the sets is the kart racing set, which we played, which has all of the right stuff in it. It's got a mode that does not have weapons, which makes sense with kids if you don't want to have your kids shooting each other or whatever.
No, I want that.
Right. And then it has, like, the Mario Kart version, which has the tracks that change as you go around each lap, and it, like, has, like, boulders or whatever running down. We were playing the Sugar Rush level. We also watched some of the Nightmare Before Christmas level. I don't know. I was a lot more impressed with that game this time around than in past years.
Yeah, I mean, I was flying a snow speeder taking down an AT-AT, so
that
happened.
Right.
And Yoda was flying it.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, and then I played as Darth Vader in episodes 1, 2, and 3, or between. What was that we were doing?
That was, I don't know. I don't like those first movies, so I don't pay attention. But yeah, I see what you're saying. There's a game there now.
Yeah.
And the kart racing seemed like it was pretty solid.
It did. I think...
they said Sumo created that. And I thought that they... I feel like I remember seeing their name before one of the Sonic kart games or something. I feel like I have a game that they play that's a kart game. They didn't do the Cars game. I think that was Avalanche. But I don't know. It looks pretty cool. And after Disney, we didn't have any more appointments. We just sort of walked around the floor. And we walked over to the West Hall for the first time, which is where all the first party stuff is. And that is just a clusterfuck.
Sumo did do Sonic and Sega All-Stars Racing.
Okay.
Or at least they worked on it.
Okay. Not Transformed?
No, they did Transformed.
And Transformed. Okay.
So, yeah. Like, you could tell, like, hey, this game knows what it's doing. And
right.
This feels right. They also worked on Forza Horizon 2.
But no, they did the Xbox 360 version, I believe.
Okay. Well, I mean, still, there's pedigree.
Right. But there's that sucked, apparently, because it was missing all the good content from the
Xbox One. They also worked on Little Big Planet 3, apparently, so.
They get around.
Right.
So we went over to the West Hall. It was just too crowded. Everybody is at the PlayStation booth, at the Xbox booth, and at the Nintendo booth. And they're all in the same hall, and it's not where we want to be, but... I think tomorrow we have some appointments there, and hopefully it'll be less crowded. We'll be able to play something because right now, like, you can't get close to anything at any of the three big booths.
Not easily. I mean, you have to be really committed to this is the game I want to go see, and I'm going to sit in this line for until it happens.
Right, right.
We did go back to like the EA booth, and we played some of their sports games.
Oh, right, right. How's the new basketball?
NBA Live, still, it's getting better. It still has a ways to go. They showed, it's less stiff than it was last year, but it's still, so much stuff happens that, like, wouldn't happen in a basketball game. And the dev that was showing me the dev who showed me the demo was saying all the right stuff, and, like, here's a new feature we have with, like, touch passes. And then he tried to show it, and then it just, the ball just like went straight out of bounds.
Guy's pants fell off.
Right. And he's like, oh, it's a pre-alpha build, which is, that's true. Like, you can't judge anything on that. So you just have to take his word, like, right. This will work by the time we.
But with that game, you really
right. can't it's really work. Hard. Like, right. Exactly. Like, it's, like, you can only fool us so many times with saying the right thing.
Right.
But it looks better.
Okay.
They'll get there eventually. The movement is better. Like if you like when you're dribbling, the guys just will do a like if you change directions with them and it makes sense for them to go behind the back, they'll do that.
Nice.
So, I don't know. I played it a little bit. It's playable.
Okay.
But when you're going against NBA 2K,
you got to be a lot more than playable.
Right.
I played NHL 16 for a little bit.
That looked fantastic. I was watching that.
Yeah, I heard you say, like, wow, a couple of times.
Right. Like, that, even when we were like standing pretty close to a big screen,
yeah,
and there's like, it looks like a hockey game. Like
the crowd looks real. They got the crowd down.
The way like the goalies were moving around, like that's what I said. Really, wow, was like
he made a crazy save or something.
Well, yeah, like the puck had gone like behind the net, and yeah, so he was shifting around, and then it came back out the other side, and then somebody shot it, and he like either made a save or he deflected it.
Yeah,
and it was like that looked like a somebody. Really, yeah,
they
like,
got the animations right down now with the on the next gen. It looked really good. It seems a little slower, and I asked the dev, and he said, "Yeah, I can tell. Like they're so afraid to answer you sometimes because." I don't know. They're afraid, like, if they say that the game is a little slower, like, someone could think that that's a bad thing somehow. Oh, so slow now. But, the game seems really good. They've added some, like, overlays now when you play. Like, they never had that before. So, like, if you're, and you can turn it off and customize it in a lot of different ways. But now, like, when you go to pass, you can see a little dotted line to who it's going to go to before you actually pass the puck. If you wanted to.
Okay.
When you're aiming and you're about to shoot, something will light up in the goal, like the part of the goal.
I was wondering what in the world was happening with
that. Yeah, that's brand new for this year. Like there were little targets in the goal. It's the targets that they use in the All-Star game when they have like the skills competition.
Okay, right.
But that's there. I wasn't clear like why they added that. That's to teach people the game.
Probably.
Because it was context sensitive too. Like actually, he said it was dynamic, so he said it learns. So, like, as you figure shit out, it'll stop telling you to do that shit. Like, once you learn how to do the stick lift, it's going to stop telling you to do that, I think. But he said he could customize it.
Yeah, like, the NBA game was doing something a little bit similar, too. Like, every time you shot the ball, it would have a meter that would say, like, okay, you shot that, like,
too soon
or too early. Or, like, that was contested, and it would show, like, a percentage of, like, this is the percentage that shot will go in.
These games have a lot of control, so it's good. Now, there's not everybody's playing it every year, and although it's pretty much the same people buying it every year, probably. But I guess if you hope to acquire new fans, you got to add stuff like that in. But it seemed good. I'm optimistic that it's going to be NHL 16 will be good coming out in September.
It looked phenomenal, like just watching it. Yeah. But
I told Ty, I did a little FaceTime with him before we recorded this, and he's like, did you play the new hockey? I was like, yeah. I was like, not only that, I played it with one of the guys who made the game. And he was just like, he was just like throwing his hands up in the air, walking around the room. Like, how did you, why do you get to play with him? Why? I'm like, well, that's why they're here. They're here to show their game to people. He's like, oh my God. Like, he just couldn't believe it.
You should tell him I got to play with one of the NBA Live. No, they do. I don't want to take too many shots at them. No, they're trying to make a good game. It's just difficult. And basketball, I think, it's harder to get right than hockey.
Right.
There's a lot more. Like the ball is doing a lot more than the puck is, and the puck is confined inside of walls.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus, they've been making the same game since the early '90s.
Yeah, I think there was one button just mapped to alley-oops as well. Like,
oh, wow.
It's an interesting thing to just have a button for just alley-oops. Like, it doesn't
warrant its own button.
Right, it's not something that, like, happens, like, every time down the court.
I mean, it is an NBA Jam, it deserves its own button, but no. All right, is that all we saw today?
I think that might do it. We saw a lot.
Good, I'm hoping to save my voice for later. Thank you for listening. We will do another one of these tomorrow, of course. Speak to you then.